play and have a good time. You don't have to study all that stuff and mess around learning all that dull stuff about now the Indians and red coats and cannons and guns and muskets and stuff.
What about Indians and red coats and cannons and muskets and guns and stuff?
Oh, you know, Indians and red coats and, you know, history.
Hi, this is Candy Miller, the director of the Grover Museum. I invite you to join me for History of Shelby County.
History! I love history!
Looking back into the history of Shelby County, brought to you by Runabom Construction, Eastside Express Car Wash, Occasions Banquet Hall and Catering, by Duffy Warble Insurance, Bishop's Appliances, Cord Brothers Construction, and McDaniel Family Eye Care. Candy Miller's in from Grover Museum. Good morning.
Good morning, and what a beautiful morning it is outside. We're going to Geneva, little bitty town, but so much to tell. And because it's little, we can just about give you the whole history in one show. So let's do that. And it is on the Flat Rock River, and I love that our Miamis called it the River of the Large Flat Stones. I had to throw that in. I just love that.
No offense, but Flat Rock River is a little easier to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
One's poetic, okay. The other's
It's the
succinct.
Romance behind it, I guess, knowing we had Native Americans. In Geneva is in Noble Township on the east bank of the Flat Rock River. It was the fulfillment of a dream that Mr. Lewis Klein and his family once had. They plotted the village on October the 28th, 1853, after claiming a 160-acre tract of land, which became 32 lots, each 60 feet by 120 feet. Let's make sure we know it's feet. With streets that were 50 feet wide. Now, that's kind of wide, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe they were four lanes.
Could be. That's funny. Watching horses and carriages passing each other in the fast lane. That's funny.
Maybe somebody was planning I-69 back then. Who knows?
When I just had a vision of like a deserted western city where the streets really, really were wide and the saloons on one side and the hotels on the other.
It'd take 2 days for a tumbleweed to get across.
Yeah, 50 feet wide. Well, that was, he had a dream. It must have included wide streets. Geneva's first manufacturing establishment was a woolen mill built in the middle of the Flat Rock River. And this mill is washed away in high water, but later was replaced with a grist mill owned and operated by Sam Gregory and William Mitchell. You know, those mills. We talked about mills last time, and they had a lot of trouble. Think how long it took to build a functioning water mill on the river.
Which time?
Yeah. And
the fifth, the eighth.
How many times they burned down or washed away in the river.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was a labor-intensive business. John Conger also owned and operated a sorghum mill. Oh, molasses cookies. Wonder where he got his sorghum. Did we grow sorghum? We must have grown sorghum.
I'm sure they did, yeah.
First general store in Geneva was operated by Gibbs and Johnson. And then Mr. Sneed owned the second store. They had a lot of stores. First post office was known as Sulphur Hill, so that would have been the first name of the town because the post office carried the name of the town. And the first postmaster was a Mr. Heyer, H-I-E-R, who eventually had the post office moved to Geneva, and that became the permanent post office and address. The first blacksmith shop was built and run by Jordan Bryson. There was even a small drugstore near that blacksmith shop. Band-Aids and Aunt Mercurochrome. Do you remember Mercurochrome?
I do.
It stings and is red, but boy, you didn't get affection.
I remember it. And it killed everything.
Yeah, it did, including your finger. So that's kind of funny, drugstore right next door to the blacksmith shop. Leonard Heyer operated a grist mill. S.H. Gregory owned a lime kiln. Now, I know we have a lot of limestone around here, so that was an easy one to haul in, well, except for the weight of the limestone. There was a wagon shop with a room overhead, which was used for community gatherings. And, you know, they did everything was a social event and a surprise and a party, so they had a lot of community gatherings. There was a skating rink on the east bank of the Flat Rock River. Now, I have puzzled over that. The east bank only, not the east and west. And it had to be ice skating rink. What else would it be? Unless in low tide, the Flat Rocks came into use, but I doubt it. So that stunned me, a skating rink on the east bank of the Flat Rock River. There's probably not anybody around to ask if they ever went skating there.
No, I think this dates
That's
back
probably,
a bit far.
Yeah. The first carpenter and or plasterer was a Mr. Brandenburg. Dr. W.W. Keeling was the first doctor in Geneva. Dr. W.E. Moore, M-O-H-R, who came later in the list of doctors to practice in Geneva, became a very famous surgeon. Good for him. His first operation was the amputation of a man's frozen foot, which was performed on a pool table in the saloon.
After he fell in the Flat Rock River trying
during
to skate
ice
off
skate.
The east side.
I know. There was a connection there. I felt it too. Geneva could also boast of having a dentist and a veterinarian.
You didn't have to leave town. Pretty impressive.
For a little bitty spot opening up with, what, 62 lots? 32 lots in a 50-foot wide street. Pooming little, metropolis. Geneva could also boast of settlers of early Geneva educated their children in their homes, so kids were homeschooled. And the first schoolhouse was built by John Seward. In the 1880s, a two-room school building was erected, one room over the other, one over one.
Huh. Two-story? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm wondering why all the extra effort when side by side would have been so much easier to build.
One roof.
True.
One roof.
One roof. Heat rises. Heat the building. Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe it. One room over the other. The building was eventually torn down and another structure with more rooms was built. Trustee of the community was William Mitchell. Trustee of the school. Trustees always ran the school and paid the teachers. This building was closed following the construction of the Noble Township Consolidated School. That school building eventually became a church annex. The first church services ever held were in the home of John Conger. Later, a half-acre square was purchased for the sum of $10. Half-acre, $10. And a building was erected for use as a church. In 1874, that building was moved. They moved it. First pastor was D.A. Robertson. The congregation then built another new church in 1893, and the pastor was W.S. Smith. After the Civil War, a Southern Methodist church was built, as opposed to a Northern Methodist. Always wondered what the differences could be. Besides the accent, before you say it, besides the accent and the sugar in the tea, it's a Southern Methodist church. For many years, the congregation of the Geneva Church sponsored one big money-making project each year, and it was known as the Geneva Fair. Geneva Fair. Fairgoers could find a large food tent that even had home-baked pies. What kind, you think?
Every kind related to fruit. Probably not a
canned,
lot of cream pies.
Whatever they could have canned, you're right, and stand up to the weather. My first thought was pecan, if you're in the South. Or
well, they
pecan.
Weren't that, they're still in Geneva just because they're Southern Methodist. It's still Geneva. It's right over there.
Yeah, okay. Small booths also sold various kinds of foods and drinks.
You think we'd drop past the Mason-Dixon line
you
at
think?
This point.
Country store was set up where one could buy homemade and home-baked items to take home. Children could choose between a small train, mechanical rides, and a surrey with the fringe on top. Now, they're already traveling by horse and buggy, so the surrey must have been an upper society treat.
This one had a fringe, Candy.
Yeah.
It had fringe.
That's what made it different.
It's fringy.
It's fringy, what made fringy. It special. Haven't you heard the song? At the east edge of Geneva, There was a large poultry farm owned and operated by Edwin, Paul, and Judy Douglas. And at the time of the writing of Conn's Creek in 1976, they had 50,000 laying hens. This is all from the Waldron Story or Conn's Creek's Reflections, Bicentennial Edition, 1976, by Kenneth Seaver, the editor. And he noted at the writing that had 50,000 chickens laying eggs in Geneva. Geneva is near the Flat Rock River, so of course the threat of flooding was always very real. Flooding waters threatened in 1897, 1898, and again in 1899, leaving some damage. I'll bet the mill washed away. What do you think?
By 1900, half the population had had enough and moved out of Geneva.
I think so, too. It was the flood of 1913 that was the most terrifying experience for Geneva residents. A bridge over Flat Rock River was washed away. Rescue workers in boats were greatly slowed down because of the turbulent water. Vern Hatton was trapped up a tree near the Charles Mill and had to spend the night there. Mr. Holland, the mill operator, was trapped inside the mill, so I guess the mill must have stayed put, saved his life, and they were both finally rescued. The brick mill withstood the floodwaters and eventually became a beautiful country home. Oh, I like that idea. During the 1890s, George Knaus operated a sawmill on the William Wright Farm in Noble Township. Alexander Copeland moved to Flat Rock River near Geneva in 1846. He built the Holland Mill in about 1868. He built a log dam across the river, a sawmill on the north side, a short mill race, and a grist mill on the south side. The race was extended down the river in 1868, a brick building erected and equipped with stone burrs for grinding flour, meal, and feed. After Copeland's death in 1879, his sons Edward and Romulus Charles operated the mill until it was sold to W.R. Holland in 1912.
How many people, I can think of at least four, have the initials W something in this flashback to Geneva?
Yeah, W.R., William, W.W.
I think there was a W.S., maybe. Yeah. Either way, there's been a lot of them.
And there, I'm still stuck on Romulus. Edward and Romulus Charles.
Romulus and Remus?
Mm-hmm. So there were some odd names for sure. And they were longtime family names that kept getting passed on and passed on. And they were just kind of stuck with them, I think, because of that. True family names. A lot going on for a little bitty town, and Geneva still exists today.